Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to changing the world of work so that more organizations can be more effective and less dysfunctional, and employees can be more fulfilled and less miserable. I'm Pat Lencioni, your host, joined by my co-host, Cody Thompson. How are you doing today, Cody?
Great. Co-host and what do we call engineer?
Oh, and engineer. Today. That's right.
So hopefully I don't screw this part up.
Matt is not in studio. He's at home because he's a little under the weather. And during this time, we decided, hey, make sure you're okay. Get a test. Right. We want to be safe. We also have Tracy Noble, our general manager. I always forget. She's our producer. She's our adult supervision. Yeah, exactly. She's on mic today too.
Hey there.
It's great to have you back, Tracy.
Thank you.
And today, what are we going to talk about, Cody?
1 hour coaching hack.
That's right. We're going to be talking about, you know, life hack. This is a coaching hack. You don't need to do everything to get coached. We're going to give you a 1 hour hack that can do the trick for you. Coaching is one of those things that everybody talks about, and having a coach is great. If you've played sports, you know what that's like. I'm a golfer. I need to have coaching because I'm terrible. I don't have one. That's why I'm so terrible. And there's coaches at work or consultants that work with people, leaders, one-on-one, and there's life coaches. And I think that's wonderful. I think that's great. They can be very effective. But I think that sometimes we can get what we need in terms of coaching in a much quicker way and a much more direct way. And that's what we're going to talk about today, the 1 hour coaching hack. Now, not only are we going to tell you we want you to do this, both at work and at home, but we did it just this morning.
That's right.
Because as we were talking about this, well, let's do it. It took less than an hour and it was very impactful and it will have a demonstrable impact on our team.
Yeah, and on you individually too. I mean, this was implicit in this is we're going to tell you about the hack, but the other piece is that we do look for people with the coaching title, like whether you're, oh, you go and get a life coach or you look to, you hire someone that's going to give you that sort of feedback. And the other part of this is to say, look, everyone you work with, it should be your coach. Mm-hmm. We just have to invite people. And we've talked about feedback and stuff like that before. That's not what we're talking about here. But if you just sit across the table from the people you see 8 hours a day and have these types of conversations, you just gained 7 or 8 coaches on your team. The people that spend the most amount of time with you, who know you as well as your husband or wife.
But if we don't invite them or even exhort them to coach us, they might not do it.
Exactly.
A few episodes ago, you talked about this, Cody, when we talked about your blind spot. By the way, I just realized I interrupted you. We do that sometimes, but I'm sorry.
That's fine.
And so I said, I think it'd be a great business idea to people could hire you to just follow them around for a day and go, hey, you did this, you pick your nose too much and you're kind of rude or whatever else. But the truth is we have people around who can do that. They're with us every day.
Right. And they work on projects with us every day and they see when they see us in every facet. These people, they are following, you know, they're paid to sit next to you and work with you.
Right. So put them to good use.
That's right.
And so we're going to give you the 1 hour hack right now. We did it this morning. You loved it, Tracy.
I did. I actually loved it. I love our prep around the podcast. We have so much fun because we always sit out in the big room and we talk to our colleagues about it and we test things and it's a blast.
And if this were awful, we would be on here telling you, don't do this.
Right. That's right.
Avoid this hack.
Exactly. Yeah. So here's what you do. It's very simple. And it comes from something that we do in that takes longer when we work with executive teams, which we call the team effectiveness exercise, which is a word we made up just to make it sound like something, where you go around the table and everybody writes down something about everybody else at the table that they're good at. And so, when I don't have time, one day I was like, oh my gosh, I have 45 minutes to do this. So I made this up with an executive team, but it's actually a great thing to do with your team.
Well, but I do think it's worth explaining the whole process so that when we shrink it down to the hack part, we know what we're talking about. But essentially what that team effectiveness exercise is when a whole team sits around a table and we ask every single person to go around and think of every other person that you see at the table and write down, here's the one thing that you do really well that you need to continue to do.
The one thing.
Yeah.
And everybody makes a little list and they sit there and they look at each other, Tracy, Cody, Pat, and you write down your one thing.
And it's the one thing that you do well that you need to keep doing well in order for us to be successful.
Right. At work, in the context of the team.
Right. And it's not like, oh, hey, you're really good at accounting. You could keep doing the accounting and it's behavioral and like how they show up and that sort of thing. And then we ask them to go around and write one thing that that person either is doing that needs to stop or that they don't do that they need to do more of to help the team. Like, so
every person, you got to write something for every person other than yourself.
Exactly. And it could take, you know, upwards of 60 to 90 minutes to have everyone think of that, write it down, and then present that. And what you do is you start with the leader and you go down the list and have everyone say, what's the one thing that you're doing well that we want to keep? And what's the one thing that you need to fix?
Right. So if Tracy's a CEO, we'd say, okay, everybody, one by one, tell us the one thing you love about Tracy that you think is the most important quality she has. And everybody goes through, and then Tracy can't say anything until we're done. And we go, what do you think, Tracy? And she says, that was great to hear. And then we go, okay, let's go the other direction now. What's one thing that Tracy needs to get better at? We've done this for 24 years and it always works. Mm-hmm. It's we've had one time it blew up, but it's people hear the hard things. They hear the good things. And it often takes 2 hours. You're exhausted and you get good stuff.
When at the core of this, and this, Tracy, you've been reminding, is mm-hmm. like around accountability,
yep.
right? It's like, so when you see the person who just was in the hot seat, when you see them say, it's never really a surprise, which I find interesting. It's like people go around the room and they're like, this is the one thing that you need to stop doing. And that person is always like, yeah, I get that. I do that. And I'm sorry. I'll do my best. You right. know? And all it is for your whole team to be able to say, hold you accountable. Hey, you're doing that thing.
But people just don't walk up to each other in the hallway and go, hey, by the way, Tracy, I think you need to speak up stronger about this. You need a context for it.
Yeah.
And that's what we're talking about here.
And that's what we did this morning, and we shortcut
it. That's right.
Yeah. And truthfully, it's less than an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did it with not 8 people in 45 minutes, I think it mm-hmm. was.
Right. And so, and we talked about it because we were going to be mm-hmm. doing this. So the hack is what makes it shorter is you literally just go around the room, and we did it this morning. And if you're a leader, start with the leader and make sure the leader goes deep. Because mm-hmm. if you start and the person who goes first goes shallow, it sets the tone for the rest of the conversation. Yeah, in fact, right. you were talking about this
that,
morning.
I literally cannot overstate that. There's some unspoken social rule where people play this game where if you sit down at a table, at a lunch table, and the first thing that a person tells you or asks you is like, hey, how's the weather where you're from? Or what's new? And then you realize that the tone of that, that's the depth right. of that conversation has now been
it's at the weather.
Right.
yeah.
But if you sit down and they're like, how's it going? And you're like actually, wait,
what's going on? Like I have friends that'll go, what's going on in your life right now? Yeah. And how happy are you?
Right.
And now if the answer is, they want to know.
Yeah. And then you set that level. So it can't be overstated that if you start shallow, this will not be effective for you.
Right.
If one person is like, I think mine is that you show up a little late, you know, or something, right. you know, that's not what we're talking about, but it would destroy the entire process.
So here's how it works. Have one person go first, and then you start and you say, I want you to tell me what your greatest skill is, what you're world-class at in relation to what we do here. And this is key. We start with that. People have a hard time pointing out their own strength. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I say, what are you world-class at that we need you to do here? Because if you can't tell me that, you're not going to be able to tell me what you don't do well. And if you don't know what it is, or you're not comfortable with it, then you're not using it enough.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if the leader starts and says, I'm really good at this, and I know I do it here, and I know you guys need this, I know I'm great at this. That's probably mm-hmm. the hardest one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and what's great about doing it in the around all the other people is even if you're only 90% right, you know, like you're sort of thinking like, this is what I think it is. Your teammates are either confirming or denying like, oh, no, that's, so you did yours. And we were like, yeah, that's it. I think that's the right. thing, you know? And it would be different if it were just one-on-one because you might miss it. The whole team is sort of collectively saying, affirming that is the thing, the one thing.
And everybody likes to hear, Tracy's, I loved hers today because she got it right. And when we confirmed it, she was like, oh, I'm really glad you guys said that.
That's mm-hmm. right. And in fact, when we got to my weaknesses, it was great because you guys helped clarify some things. So I wasn't exactly sure how to articulate it. And I put it out there and you guys helped me form it more. And that was super helpful. And mm-hmm. that happened with several of our colleagues.
Let's give them an example.
Yeah.
That's
like,
great. So,
and I'll do mine too. And again, I don't like doing this. And it was really hard for me because it can feel like bragging, but acknowledging what you're great at is something that you need to do that so the other people on the team will do it.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So I said, I'm really good at seeing things early mm-hmm. and kind of being able to see things and put together the picture and knowing kind of where things are headed and to iterate in my own mind so that most of the ideas that I come up with to address that are pretty good early on.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm, and they know that, I know that, but if I sit there and I deny it.
Right.
That's not good.
It's not genuine.
It's not braggy at all. I mean, there's a whole shelf of books right behind you where you identified problems and you wrote solutions to them that millions of people are using. So for you to deny that would be insane.
Ridiculous. Well, and you know what? But you know what made me want to do it? Because I knew that if I didn't acknowledge my own strength when it came time for Tracy or you or Amy or anybody else to do it, they weren't going to do it.
Right.
That's right.
It's the setting the tone.
Right. Because that's false modesty.
Yeah.
Like, well, I don't know. I'm okay at this, I guess. You know? And then I said, what I'm really bad at it, I get really intense and angsty about things when I don't need to. And then it can kind of come across as judgmental and uncomfortable. And I know it sets a bad tone.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, is that my thing? And they're like, yep, that's yours.
Yeah.
So now that we went deep on me, it was like, okay.
Right.
Had I mailed that in, it would have been a ridiculously wasteful conversation for an hour.
Yeah. I joked that there was a story of, I don't remember whose story it is, and I hope this person doesn't remember either. One of the CEOs, when we went through a similar exercise, but about that level of depth and honesty, when we asked like what your biggest challenge is in their childhood, they said, oh, this person, it sounds comical, but this person's answer was, oh, I sailed around the world when I was 15, when I was a teenager. And that was, and that destroyed the exercise for everybody.
It's like a humble brag.
It was a humble brag. But it's true. Like you went to this place where on the verge, and even at the risk of sounding a little bit braggy, but you know, this is the value you add. You have to go there so that the other person sitting across from you can go, hey, you know what? I think this is what I do that is really great for
the
team.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah. So we're going to go to Tracy, who hates talking about herself.
Yes, I do. I hate this.
But what did you say to her? I said, Tracy, and you said, world-class. Now you really, and I said, yep. I want to know what you are world-class at here at work.
So I, over the last 20 plus years, I've always been called the closer. So I finish things around the table group. So I push things over the finish line.
Yep.
So I am the closer here at the table group. Mm-hmm. I get stuff done.
Without you, most of the stuff we do would never get finished and it wouldn't have come to fruition.
Nope.
Yes, that's right.
And we all went, yeah. And when she said that, we're like, yeah, it's like when you did this, you have great judgment and you really want to help us, but you will not let us stop until it's finished. You're awesome at that. And she was like, thank you. Mm-hmm. And it's just to have that. And then was your greatest?
So for me, I need to find my voice. So I have a tendency to hold back. And I think I don't like taking risks. I don't like putting myself out there. I'm an E in the working genius. That's my number one. So I have a tendency to hold back. So I need to find my voice now.
And how does that hurt us?
Oh, it hurts us because I hold back at times and I shouldn't. And in moments, I don't say what I'm feeling. I don't go straight to the issue.
And then we could maybe make a bad decision because you didn't want to say, or, and you might not challenge somebody because you want to be nice to them.
Absolutely. And that happens all the time.
Right.
It's funny. And I said, I often will challenge people outside the company or vendors, but I won't challenge the people in here in this office.
Right.
So that's a big issue for me.
And it's really important to go, our areas that we need to improve in, this is where the coaching comes in, are things we really need to work on. We're not saying yeah, so I just don't like to do that, so I'm probably not going to. It's like, no, I need to work on that.
That's at a real cost.
I need to be less intense and judgmental.
Yes.
You need to be less careful and soft about those things because we're not helping the team.
Absolutely. And Cody tells me this all the time. And I'm like, yes, you're right. I need to work on this.
But it's self-serving for me because I'll tell you as a colleague of yours, what the reason I try to pull that out of you more is because we both have discernment.
Yes.
When I know that we're aligned, when you actually give your opinion, it gives me more like steady foundation to stand
on. That's right.
And so when you withhold, I'm constantly like, am I wrong about this? And sometimes when Tracy just like throws it out there and it's additive, it's like, oh, it makes it seem even more sure that this is the right direction.
Well, and when Tracy doesn't, when I know she feels strongly about something, but she's not saying anything, then I have to go even stronger. Mm-hmm. And that's where I get even
tension.
More intense
and
more angst and judgmental. Cause I'm like, well, if she's not saying it, I have to say it louder.
That's right.
And we looked at each other like, yep, if you work on that, that's going to help me. And if I work on mine, it's going to help you.
Yep.
Right.
Coaching.
This hack. Is coaching.
It's a coaching hack.
Yeah. So we went around the table today, every single person And so, Cody, what was yours? We got to say this. People want to hear this.
Yeah.
So, what are you world class at? Don't hold back.
I know. It does even still feel a little braggy.
It's hard to do.
It was easier to do in the 8 per people in our office. And so however 20,000 people receive this, whatever, I think I'm really good at leading is what I said. Like, I think I'm pretty good at taking all the bits of our company, the people and the human capital, and getting them moving in the right direction. And do that some way by challenging and other by inspiration. And so I think there's like this kind of fine line that I can walk in that regard. And you added to this, you helped clarify, you're like, I'm willing to say what needs to be said in any room.
You're willing to disrupt, I think.
And say, hey, no, that's not going to work. That's not going to be good enough. Mm-hmm. And everybody wants you to. And very few people will do that. And you are world-class at that.
And I'll say this, even as I said it in there, and we're saying it now, is like, that you, the fact that I'm saying I'm good at leading and I'm sitting across the table from the president, CEO, founder of the group, and to have people affirm that. And like, that's been part of my transition. You guys have been my coaches for 6 years here.
Right.
And I'm a different person because you guys have pushed me in those areas. Like, that's we think you can do more. And so that's really, it's a meaningful difference maker for someone who's willing to be coached and open themselves up to being coached by their peers. So, so the thing I'm uniquely bad at that holds us back, I had two of them, but the one.
What was interesting before you even say it, you're going to tell us the first one. And then 20 minutes went by and Cody said, I got to confess.
Yeah.
I got to fess up and tell you my other one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was a huge.
Totally.
Vulnerable moment.
So my first one is the thing I do that is not good is I'm really confident when I'm a discerner first. So I feel like I'm pretty good batting average at figuring out what the right thing to do is. But what happens is in some cases, my confidence undermines other people's ability to even engage with me. You know, so it's like, you guys have said to me, like, do you ever change your mind? Have we ever influenced your opinion on these things? And so it can kind of undermine other people. And really what it is I really am trying my best to like, I'll get there. You know, I want to get there, but I need to see it myself.
Right.
You know?
And so you can be so convicted in the moment. And so it's seemingly assure of yourself, even though you might not feel that, you convey that and other people don't push back.
Right.
Because they're like, well, you've already decided. And so you're pretty smart. So we'll just go with that.
Yeah. And the analogy I use is like, if someone tells me, oh, this movie's really good, I kind of internally go, well, I'll be the judge of that. And then if I watch it and I think it's really good, then I'm like, yeah, it's really good. You're right.
Yeah.
Versus letting someone, and I trust you guys. I know you have good judgment and discern, you know, all of that. And I need to be a little better at letting that influence me.
Right. Now, and the reason why we're going through this is not because we want you to know everything about Cody, me, and Tracy. It's because we want you to hear the stuff that gets talked about.
That's right.
And because that's what, and we did this for 8 people in 45 minutes at the level you're hearing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Our team, the reason why, and somebody said, I don't remember who said it. Was you?
Yeah.
You were like, doing this, taking the time to do this, because it's slowing down to go fast. Mm-hmm. It would be so easy for somebody to say, you just wasted 45 minutes. That investment of 45 minutes having that discussion
huge.
Means everybody else is like quicker to point things out good, quicker to correct somebody on the bad,
totally.
Remind people of what they need to be coached around. And the economics of that are fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And this is, I had my father-in-law was over last night asking me, he's really curious about what we do. And he's like, he actually asked me last night, when people ask me what Cody does, I don't know what to tell them. What do I tell them? You know? And so it sparked this whole conversation, but it really, what it is we take the time to do we have 12 people in this company. And I've said before, like when we're inspiring people to do around what we do is like other companies measure revenue per employee, you know, I think our impact per employee, you know, the impact we're having in the world is as high as any company out there, you know, for the 10 or 12 people. And we're blessed to be able to do some of these things and the books that you write. But I think in part, we can't ignore the fact that we do this work around coaching each other, around creating vulnerability, around having healthy conflict. We grease the wheels here so that we can run faster together,
right.
You know? And so when people come to our office, one of the biggest compliments is, wait, where's everybody? You know, where's your team? You're like, this can't possibly
this
be the group of ragtag people that are getting all this stuff out in the world. And it's true. It is.
And that's not bragging. I mean,
right, right.
What it's saying is a small group of people can get a lot done if they're constantly acknowledging, hey, I'm not good at this, I need help, or hey, you can do that better.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And when you're coaching each other like that, you don't need somebody to follow you around or meet with you every Thursday and do all this stuff. What you need is to open the team up to saying, you told me that you had that problem. I agreed with you. I'm seeing you do it right now. I'm going to help you stop.
Yep.
And that is, it's free. It comes better when it comes from people that work with you every day.
Mm-hmm.
And yet so many people work in organizations or on teams or in their homes. Now let's talk about how to do this at home. Now, Cody, you're going to have to opt out of this because Quinn and Brooks are probably not quite
there yet.
But like, even in my house, I can be like, hey, what's the best thing? We've done this before in my house. And my kids roll their eyes at me because they're like, oh, Dad, you're doing this management consulting thing. But it's like, we could say to each other, what is the best thing you're best at? And I've talked to my boys about the thing they're world class at. Like, each of them has their own area. And it's great for them to hear it. And it's different.
That's right.
And it's great for them to say, Laura, Mom, I think you're awesome at this. And that allow, when you acknowledge that, it allows you to say to somebody, because brothers will tell each other what they suck at every single day.
Right.
And they don't even receive it. But if you can acknowledge what somebody is world class at, then you can say, you know what you need to improve on? It's this.
Well, and I think it'd be really helpful for my kids to hear me say, hey, here's what I'm good at and here's what I suck at.
Right.
I think my kids would benefit greatly from that.
Right.
I can't wait to do it tonight at the dinner table.
Seriously.
I think it's worth saying too, is that, you know, there was the whole Oreo cookie, like tell someone something good and then something bad and then something good. That's not what this is at all. It's not about a way of delivering bad news. It's that it's really worthwhile to acknowledge what people are really good at and how they add to the team. And it's also really worthwhile to tell them what it's a service. It's like if the Oreo cookie could be cream, you know, that's what this is. It's like a win-win-win situation.
You know, it's funny because when I was a coach, they talked about that thing. It's actually best to ask somebody, what do you think you're great at? Because if they get it and then you confirm them, there's two benefits. One, you know, and you're and I'm telling you, I'm glad you know that. If they don't, then you can tell them, and you need to realize, next time I asked you, I want you to know that answer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because the problem is we really mistake humility. We tell people, don't ever acknowledge what you're good at. Then they never internalize it.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, the person that can't acknowledge what they're good at is going to be the same one that's probably going to be defensive about what they're not good at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they're going to go, if I didn't benefit from the positive stuff, heck if I'm going to take the negative.
Well, and I think the other thing, we should add a little bit more color about how this played out, because not everyone, this isn't like a hokey, like, oh, I knew exactly mine. And, you know, Karen, we asked Karen and she said, I'm really good at avoiding these questions. You know, like that
yeah,
was like,
she,
and people try to wiggle out of like, this is not a very comfortable thing right out of the gate. And so collectively, we had to sit there and like sit with this discomfort a little bit and go, no, do you think it's this or is
she
it in this
hated
area?
Talking about what she was good at?
Yeah.
That's right.
And I imagine that there's people on teams that are like, yeah, that would be so uncomfortable. Know that it was also uncomfortable for us,
right,
even though we have this level of vulnerability, and it's still worth it.
Absolutely. The last thing I want to say is this. When you get to a person's the area that they need to improve in, which is the essence of coaching, what we found is this. Within that negative, there was a core positive that people feel like if they can't surgically remove the negative, they got to keep it all.
Mm-hmm.
Like Karen's negative was, I don't point out things that need to change very well. Mm-hmm. I don't say, wait a second, everybody, this has got to stop. She's too, what looks like gracious and tolerant of everything. And then a problem goes on and she saw it months ago and she never said anything because she wanted to be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Now I said, now I don't want you to lose your graciousness.
And patience, she's, you know, like there's just that tipping point, right?
But find a way to surgically remove the part when you know the team needs or somebody needs you to say something that can be kind of negative, but we need to hear it because you're not doing us any favors.
Right.
So don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, but definitely drain the bathwater.
Yeah. Well, and it was similar to yours. I mean, your negative around like the angst intensity. And emotion and intensity, there's a certain amount of that we need that actually has got us to where we are.
That's right.
But then there's when the scale gets tipped a little bit too far in that direction, it's like, oh, that's where it becomes less helpful. And so that's the surgery piece, is like, let's remove that. Let's keep all the goodness out of that.
Absolutely. We need to start learning how to drain the bathwater without losing the baby. By the way, that came from an old saying, I guess, what they used to do. I heard this. They would take bath. Have you ever heard this?
I think I have, yeah.
Like in the Middle Ages.
But you know how bad I am at these things, so I'm interested. Mine might be wrong. So
I guess in the Middle Ages, when they would bathe, they'd have one big thing of water, and then the oldest would go first, and they'd get down to the baby, which think would be the opposite, right? Right. But I guess maybe the baby would pee and poo in the water, so you're like, well, we better save that to last. But anyway, I can't believe I said pee and poo on a podcast. But at the end, the water would get pretty dirty, and they'd throw the water out, and they go, wait, there might be a baby in there. So don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Now, right. I can't believe that's how it worked, but that's where the saying comes from.
We should change the title, though.
That's right. Hey, we want to do a quick commercial. Working Genius, it's been 75, 76 days. We have over 45,000 people that have taken it. The comments have been great. If you haven't done it yet, workinggenius.com. And when you go to the code for a discount, put in at the table. That's going to run out at the end of February.
Yes. Right.
Now, that might make you think that we have plenty of time, but we want you to take it now because you can use that same discount for your whole team or your whole family or anybody else. So do it now. So right. You have a whole month to use that.
And they never expire. So if you're in a place where you're like, wow, we want to use this in our department, or we're not totally sure yet, this is the perfect opportunity to load up on some licenses, and then they'll sit in your account until you're ready to use
it. Yeah. Somebody bought 100 of them today.
Yep.
We'll do a commercial for Garmin. You know, that company that does the,
He was great. He came to the UnConference too. So he's using this, and companies are doing this. He said, we're going to roll it out Garmin wide. I think.
Oh, that's so cool. So the Working Genius, that's our commercial. We're terrible at commercials, but we have to do them. Thank you for joining us. Remember, go out there and exercise your 1 hour coaching hack with your colleagues, with your family. And I think, and tell us,
send us emails.
Yeah. Send us what you learned. We'd love to hear from you. That's it for today. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next time on At the Table. God bless.